Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show. High Velocity Radio is brought to you by PSI Digital Media Experts, the market leader in delivering digital media services. From manufacturing millions of CDs and DVDs to turnkey e-commerce solutions and streaming high-definition video over their worldwide content distribution network, PSI has the solutions to meet your needs. Find PSI at psidiscs.com, psidiscs.com. The High Velocity Radio Show is where we celebrate innovative professionals producing better results in less time. Produced and directed by Lee Cantor and brought to you live from Radio X Studio in Atlanta, Georgia. Now here are your hosts, Todd Schnick and Stone Payton.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show. This is your host, Stone Payton, and joining me in the studio this morning is our producer, Lee Cantor, and my good buddy and co-host, Todd Schnick. What's happening, Todd?
Not much, Stone. How are you this morning?
I am doing well. What's going on in your world?
Well, I had a big weekend. This was my, in my quest to run this half marathon, this was the first training session where I ran further than 3 miles.
So, how much further?
This was a short one. This was just 3.5 miles, but it was nonetheless a big moral victory.
So what is this big event that you're training for, and when is it?
The half marathon, there's a ton of them all over the country. The one I'm doing is a half marathon that's in Nashville. I think it's the Music City Marathon or whatever in end of April.
So all right.
Apparently, it's the most hilliest course on the earth, so I'm really excited about that. Hills are kicking my butt, but so far we're doing okay.
So are we going to send a videographer to follow you on that race?
What do you think?
I think I should go.
I think you should go. I think you should film it. I got to tell you, the traffic on the blog is picking up. We're starting to get more and more people contributing, and that's actually been more fun than, well, most anything's more fun than the actual training, but but so far, so good.
So are you going to run this 5K for the Cobb Symphony?
Yes, I am. And in fact, I'm recruiting. I got a bunch of people that are going to join me for that.
So. Oh, terrific. February 20th?
Yes.
8:30 in the morning over at Marietta High School, something like that?
That sounds about right.
All right. But our listeners can go to our website under the Make a Difference page, and you can find out about that and can find out about the goings-ons for Cherish the Future event. All kind of cool stuff.
All kinds of cool stuff.
So we've got a studio full this morning. Tell us a little bit about the folks you brought with you. We're going to do something a little different this morning. We're going to do another restaurant roundtable, right?
This is episode 2 of the High Velocity Restaurant Roundtable, where we bring in some cool restaurant owners and chefs and proprietors and just talk about the exciting, challenging world of restaurant business and marketing.
And do we get some free meals out of it, or what have you wang-dangled for us?
That was part of their contract, yes. free meals for a month.
So. All right, I like it. Well, introduce them.
Well, I'm gonna let them go around the room. Brian, why don't you start and tell us a little bit about your joint.
Okay, we'll do. My name is Brian Lackey. I own Pizzeria Venti in Buckhead. We are a pizza and trattoria, so we do other things besides pizza, pasta, baked goods, stuff like that. And we're located at 2770 Lennox Road, and I think that's it.
Chip?
Yes, I'm Chef Chip DeSormo from Brookhaven Bistro. Website, www.brookhavenbistro.com. We're in Brookhaven, community between Chamblee and Atlanta, and we serve traditional foods prepared in a more healthy way.
Good morning. I'm Tara Cameron, owner of Diesel Pizza and Pub, located in historic Roswell, right next to the firehouse on Alpharetta Highway. And we serve New York-style pizza, gourmet style. Also have fresh salads, panini, subs, calzones, and offer full bar.
Awesome. So we have a New York pizza, and we got Italian pizza.
She has a full bar. I know exactly where this place is, and I've driven by, but I've never been.
Now, Tara, are you on Roswell Square? Is that, I mean, are you pretty close to that area? Or?
Yeah, we're right down the street from Canton Street on Alpharetta Highway next to the firehouse.
Okay, gotcha.
So one block down, you'd end up on Canton Street.
Awesome. All right, what I want to do first is we had Brian and Chip on our last episode, so I'd love to get these guys to tell us what's happened with them since they were last on. How's business? How are things going? All the brilliant ideas we talked about last episode that you, I'm sure, executed and implemented?
We put them on the map, man. They're famous now.
Sure, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, okay, I'll talk first. Things have actually been going really, really well. I don't remember the date of our last show, but starting this year, we're about 25% over where we were last year this time. So we're doing really, really, really good.
All right.
That's because of High Velocity.
That's right.
We did it.
That's what I was thinking. See, it's in the list.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a similar kind of start to the 2010. I mean, last year was our first year open, so we didn't really have, you know, we had the newness of being a new restaurant, so trying to decipher how much of last year's, you know, business was related to people just coming and trying us out. But this year's been, you know, been really good. We had a little bit of a downturn with that week where nobody wanted to get out because it was so cold and snowy. But even with that, we're about 12 to 15% over last year, which, you know, anytime you can be up year over year is a good thing. So it's been really good. You know, we had a really good new year. The holidays seem to treat us well. So, you know, we're going to just keep doing what we do, I guess.
What is a good strategy? I don't know if we have answers. That's what we can talk about is when you have a weather situation like that. I'll disclose, I do some marketing for a restaurant in Sandy Springs called Fuego Mundo. And whenever it's really nasty out and raining, we actually are attached to a parking garage. And so I can get out there on Twitter and promote that, hey, we got covered parking. You won't get wet. I actually have a video of me driving through the Prado and showing how you can get to the covered parking. I always put that out there when it's raining. But when it's 4 degrees outside and snowing, how do we fight that? How do we challenge that?
You know, and that's a good question. It's one thing that I was looking into when I was sitting in my restaurant by myself on the day that it snowed, because nobody was there. You know, I always surf the internet and see what other restaurants are doing, social media wise and discount wise, stuff like that, just to see what's happening. And one thing I noticed and that I'm going to start to implement is to have like a snowy day discount. You know, and if you have it set up ahead of time, and you can let certain key people in the social media world know, you know, people follow these guys, and anytime they mention a discount, like, you know, people will flock to that restaurant. And I noticed on one of the websites that in particular, there are maybe 5 or 6 different restaurants that, like, as soon as it was announced it was snow, whatever, like that morning there was a discount out there. And I just happened to drive by one of them because it's not too far from a restaurant, and they were fairly busy. So, you know, I've developed a couple of things that I'm going to have it like in my back pocket. So the next time we have inclement weather, I know who to send it to. I'm going to send it out to them and just see what happens, you know? So I think that's one way of doing it. And I know when it rains, you can get dollar beers at Park Tavern on Piedmont Park. So there's things like that I think that if you think outside the box,
make
you
a note of that, Stone.
I like that.
I used to utilize it all the time when I worked in Midtown. You know, it was a great thing. But I think, you know, you also want to make sure that it works with what your restaurant does. You know, you don't want to go off point too much, but I think having specials like that, you know, it can work.
Well, and if you get known for doing that kind of thing, it gets to be a little bit routine. Then maybe you could also in July, just for the heck of it, to have fun, have a snow day discount because you're kind of known for that.
Yeah.
Well, that makes a good point, because if you do something that's consistent, then people expect that you're going to do that, and so the next time you have a snow day, people go, oh, you know what, Pizzeria Venti or Brookhaven Bistro, they usually do blah, blah, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
They come in and expect it.
All right.
I just did something goofy, like come hang out and stay warm by the big wood fire grill at Fuego.
There you go. You know, I have just a thinking outside of the box story. It's not a snow day story, but do you remember, what was it? Less than 2 years ago, because we've only been open for 2 years. But remember when we had the fuel shortage? And we had lines and lines for gasoline. Well, there's a gas station across the street from us. And at one point, they were the ones on the block that had gasoline. So we had cars lined up like literally 30 deep all the way into the neighborhood behind us. So what I did that particular day was I just hand wrote it. I wanted it to look really like, you know, spur of the moment idea. Hand wrote a real quick menu of things that we could easily do for this idea that I had. And I went to all the cars with my menus. I went on my fax machine and made copies, and I went to all the cars and handed them out and said, look, call in your order to this phone number that's on the thing. That's our restaurant right up the street, and we'll run out here with your food.
Wow. Very
good. And so
creative.
We gave a special price for it, and then it was kind of funny because I had my cell phone, and the guys in the restaurant would be like, okay, come back. We got orders now. Because I was the one delivering the orders, too.
I love guerrilla marketing.
Oh, it was a blast.
That's great.
What do you call that, guerrilla marketing?
Guerrilla marketing.
I like that.
So Tara, you're new to the show. How long have you guys been open?
It's September was a year, so we've only been open a year and a half.
Okay, so you're pretty new. What are your thoughts on
Unfortunately, the weather plays a big part in your business. And we have a great outdoor seating area, so we really struggle during the winter months. But we just started delivering as of end of December, so that should really help us through the winter months. We have garage doors that we open, so it gives it a real open air feel inside the restaurant and out. So everybody looks forward to when we're able to open those garage doors up.
So is it a converted warehouse or something like that?
Garage and gas station converted to
those
pub.
Those are always cool. I did see your website, and it looked like the significant portion of your space was, in fact, outdoors.
Yeah, half of our seating is outside.
Oh, no kidding.
So.
Okay.
But right now we're doing well through the winter. We have a really good following that we built up from last year, a lot of families and regulars that do come in. So we're making it through the winter, and delivery has definitely helped.
You know, we talked last time about this mobile marketing, this text, where people sign up and they give you their cell phone so that you can communicate out messages. There's an opportunity, I think, when it's snowing or raining or whatever.
What it did for raising money for Haiti. Kind of along those same lines, right? So are you guys doing anything on this mobile marketing? Are y'all tried that yet?
I'm on Twitter.
That's the extent of your mobile marketing.
Yeah, that's it.
But you know what I'm talking about?
We just started with our Twitter. I mean, it's not even 2 weeks old, so I don't have any statistics to give you.
I know that two of my bartenders, when they come in, the first thing they do is they go down their list and they text everybody where they are to pack their bar for the night, and it actually works pretty well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But the notion is that you have the service and people can sign up, and there's probably a number of ways they can do that. But if it's a slow night, you send out a text saying, hey, half price on beer or half price on wine or get a dessert free or whatever. And when it's done right and you have a good-sized database, I've got countless stories of that really drives in numbers on a very quickly. Is anybody thinking about doing that?
Yeah, I've thought about it. I've seen some local restaurants over near Northwood Hills who have, you know, the signs that are on the road, and you know, they have a text, you know, text a certain word to this number and get something for free. And I think when I went ahead and did it to see what it was, and I think what you're doing is you're giving, you know, you're getting something free, but selfishly from the restaurant's perspective, you're giving them the right to utilize your cell phone number to send out the text message marketing. So I have not done anything with that yet, but I did get the name of the company who does use that. And so I was going to start looking into it because I think it's an interesting concept because, you know, right now, like with the Twitter, you know, not everybody does Twitter. Not everybody does these new and, you know, like I can't access Twitter from my cell phone, and I've always got my cell phone on me, but I don't usually have a computer with me. So I think, you know, utilizing something that everybody's got a cell phone, you know, almost everybody I know has text messaging on it. So it would be nice to be able to access people who don't go through the more mainstream new age social media aspects. So that I think the text message marketing would be effective because you can probably get your word out to a lot more people. And it's like, you know, I know Chip said he collects phone numbers and email addresses, and we do email. So when we have specials like that, you know, we will sometimes send it out via email. But then again, you know, are you sending it to their work email address? Are they at home right now? Are they going to get it? Because not everyone checks a BlackBerry. So, you know, I think the text message marketing could be very, very effective because everybody's got a cell phone on them.
Well, and I like what you said. I mean, everybody uses different channels, different mediums. I think you have to spread your effort across all these different channels, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. The email thing is still really strong.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you don't feel comfortable or have the facilities to do the text message or the Twitter or Facebook or whatnot, email works really, really well. I actually get people, they'll come in the restaurant the next day after when my email should have gone out, and they're like, I didn't get my email. You're still doing that, right? It's just 1 week I missed, you know.
Now, is it couponing that brings them in, or are you giving them discounts? Or?
Couponing would work. I don't do coupons. I'm not a big fan of coupons, just because I'm not, particular reason. Well, except that I feel like if you do too much of it, it cheapens your product.
So what's in these emails that you're sending out?
Special of the week.
Events that go on?
We don't do events in our restaurant, but yes, that would, you know, whatever something that would attract people to your restaurant. For me, it's the special because a lot of my customers, you know, we have a pretty big menu, but we have three or four items that are like, that's what everybody gets. And so once you've had those three or four items six or seven times, you're looking for something else. So
right. That's
why we run the specials. And so people are interested to know what that is.
So you do a weekly email, Chip?
Yes, weekly email.
And the main feature is a special of the week.
That's right.
Okay.
That is the feature. I used to do a newsletter. I don't have time to keep up with that. But with my previous business, which I still do somewhat, the portablechef.com, it's a in-home catering service. And I used to, for that, I had an extremely valuable item, two valuable items in it. One of them was just simply an article about some basic cooking concept or some health concept or entertaining or whatnot. And then the other thing that was real valuable in it was the recipe. That was the most clicked on item, of course, was the recipe.
I'll bet.
But I'd send that out once a month. And still, 2 years later, I have it send one out, and I still get people going, when are you going to start doing that again? That really boomed my business all by itself.
I found that even if I advertise in the restaurant events going on, if people don't get the email, I don't think they know about it.
Huh. And so what kind of events do you have at Diesel?
We did a lot of things through the holidays for Toys for Tots, Toys for Tots events, a dinner with Santa Claus. Coming up, we're going to be doing a PBR for pups for charity for one of the local humane societies. And then the bands. We have live music Friday and Saturday nights on the patio.
Oh, nice.
We've stopped it now up until the spring, but people love to know what bands are playing every week. So those are the emails that we start sending out.
So it seems like you do a lot of charity-related stuff. Do you do some sort of special where you say, hey, 20% of our profits will be donated to this cause? Do you do anything like that?
Yeah, we've done that. That's what we did something with the Georgia Transplant Foundation, where we did 20% of our profits went to their charity. PBR for Pups that we're going to do in March is going to be the same way. 20% will go towards the foundation we're going to benefit. Those are the two that we've worked with so far.
Okay.
You know, I happen to know that there are several nonprofits that have offices right there near you, like on Canton. And I know this because I've been talking with several nonprofits about doing some development work, some fundraising work with them. So I bet a lot of them would love to talk to you and coordinate some
stuff.
Yeah,
we would be happy to work with people around the area. I mean, if they're right on Canton Street, then everybody knows who we are.
Yeah.
So they can probably bring a big draw into. But
absolutely.
For Toys for Tots, we did it. We called it Martinis for a Cause. And it was brought in a toy and you get one free martini to start with.
Yeah.
So we've kind of done that also with different. We've done some local soccer teams that we've supported. We'll do something along that lines where you get a free martini if you donate or bring in something. So,
oh, I think that's terrific.
Yeah, that's great stuff. Now, Tara, do you find that when you do an event like that, that the people that attend who are coming under the auspices of this particular event, do you find that they do come back and are repeat customers?
Yeah, I do find that. A lot of the people that we have that come in for the events have been there before or they know of us. But once they get in and see the atmosphere, they definitely come back. And a lot of our regulars, they like to be on the email list for these events. That's what I was saying. The Toys for Tots event that we did, I advertised it for an entire month, and I had people that came in and were like, I wish I knew about it. And I know that they had been in there probably 10 times before the event happened, but they didn't check their email or they didn't have the right email on our list, so they didn't know about the event. So I definitely think that the email thing helps a lot for people to know what's going on.
Well, Tara, you touched on something that I heard about that I'd like to utilize with my restaurant. There's a pizza restaurant that I know of that's – their pizza is absolutely nothing like – it's really just mediocre. But every time I
so
pass –
we're not going to name them.
It doesn't even matter anyhow. But it's – every time I've passed by this place, their place is packed. So I've asked people who I know have gone there, how do they – I mean, what's the deal? The pizza's not that good. And they say, well, when I go, a certain percentage goes to my kid's school. And so apparently, I don't know if this is something that they've organized on their own. I don't think it is. I think there's an organization that does this kind of a thing.
Right.
And you have to find, I don't know who that is, but I thought it was worth mentioning maybe one of the Yeah, so y'all would know about that.
I've heard about it, but I think, yeah, I think it's a good, you know, anytime you give a person a reason to come to your restaurant, whether, you know, if they're going to go out and spend money, you know, it's like reward programs. You know, you can sign up to be part of a reward network where anytime they use their credit card, they get Sky Miles. And if you're signed up for this network, they're going to get additional Sky Miles. So the things like that, anytime you can incentivize a consumer to come and spend their hard-earned money with you, because in addition to getting something good, food, atmosphere, whatever, they're going to get something on the back end. So, and I don't want to speak out of turn, but I know I've heard of that. And if you'd ask me tomorrow or yesterday when I'm on the radio, I could probably tell you who does that.
Of course. It's always that way, isn't
it? So when I figure out, I'll give you a call and let you know who it is, because I know that I've looked into it.
Yes.
And we've been, you know, one more thing on the to-do list. But I will get back to that. One thing I wanted to touch on, it's a question I had, and, you know, just to throw it out to the floor, because we're all, you know, restaurateurs, whatever, marketers. One of the dilemmas I seem to be coming up against, and it's more of like an internal struggle with this email marketing thing. How much email marketing is too much? Is there such a thing as too much?
Yes, there is.
Is there such a thing as too much, you know, contact with the consumer? Because, you know, selfishly, I know you don't do coupons, but, you know, one of the things that I do to get people to sign up for our email list is I tell them, I'm going to send you free food. You know, they're at the POS counter. I'm like, hey, do you like free food? Who's going to say no to that, right? Sure. Oh, well, then sign up for our email list. And we send out, because what we do, we send an email out once a month. It's got a list of, like, the fruits and vegetables that are in season, stuff you can cook with. We give them a recipe that they can cook utilizing in-season vegetables. We list our specials for the month using some in-season items. And at the bottom, we give them a coupon, free slice of cheese pizza, free salad, free dessert, whatever, as a reason to come back in the restaurant. But we also send out emails letting them know about specials we do throughout the week. And, you know, I get really concerned because I get a weekly list of how many people I have on my email list and how many people have dropped off since the last time. And I get concerned when I see that number of people who've opted out of it kind of spike or jump. You know, it goes from 0, 0, 0, 10, you know, and I've seen a correlation that, you know, when we send out 3 emails in a week, we get some people to drop off.
Yes.
So this is a question I'm throwing out to the floor. I still believe that there's really no such thing as too much, because it's almost like a commercial, you know. If you get in front of somebody 10 times, they may realize it once. Hey, you know what? I'm going to go eat there. So it's like a waiting thing.
It's a tough thing. See, Twitter is it's this giant flowing river of all this information, and so some people do encourage you to send out the same message multiple times, because over the course of a day, someone's not necessarily going to see that, or on a long Facebook message stream. My opinion, though, the email is a little bit different, and it's more personal. But on the assumption that you're only emailing people who have given you permission to do
right,
so.
Naturally,
spam. We had an experience. We did a big tweet up at Fuego in December. We had 200 people there, and the DJ accidentally got her hands on the jar of business cards, where we were pulling to get for all the door prizes, and she sent emails to that whole list the next day promoting her DJ. And it caused this firestorm on Twitter the next day. And of course, I was front and center on that because it was my event. And so I'm out there responding to all that. So spam is bad. I mean, that goes without saying. The best advice I can give you is when you see opt-out rates increase over, I think 3 weeks too much. It's my opinion. I wouldn't look at it as a commercial. Because I think it's a different kind of medium. It is more personal. It's like the text messaging thing we're talking about. I think, again, assuming that someone gives you permission to use that tool, I don't think you can abuse it. And I think once a week. I mean, what's your opt-out rates, Chip, once a week?
Yeah, I definitely have some input on this. Some fundamental things. First off, to answer your question, my opt-out rate is. I have a mailing list of, we're up to about 500 now, and I get one or two opt out maybe every other emailing, which I send them out every week.
Wow.
So, but I have a fundamental thing about this that it took me 2 years to realize. First off, there's only so much Pizzeria Venti pizza that people are going to be willing to eat in a week.
Not
so much, so many salmon quesadillas that people are going to be willing to eat in a week. It's true. It doesn't matter how big your menu is. I just want to eat. I do. I don't want to eat in the same place more than once a week. I just don't. So the thing is, the real value of your email list is keeping your name and identity up front of mind for your customers. And that's all that you're going to accomplish with it. You can do all kinds of things on your email, but it's still going to accomplish that one thing. And so if you send it out more often than once a week, it's just redundant, I guess is a good word for it. If you're trying to get more people in the door, then there are other things that you need to do besides your email. You've already accomplished what you need to accomplish with your email is what I'm trying to say. There are other things to do to get more people in the door by exposing yourself to larger volumes of people, like some kind of an incentive that you could, which I haven't done this, but you could create an incentive for bringing in a friend when they come in. Somehow, you know, a regular customer comes in. Maybe it would be, for instance, your Frequent Diner Club card members. I think y'all have that too.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
We have that, yeah. So have your card-carrying members, if they come in with a friend that you've never seen before or something like that, then give them something free. So now you've got exposure to a lot more people, and now you have – that's how you would get more bodies in the shop, so to speak.
Mm. But that being said, Brian, I think there are situational opportunities where I think – for instance, if there's a big snow day, and we don't have a lot of those here, then I think an email out saying, hey, snow special today, you know, I think that would be relevant because that's a different context with which they're getting this communication. It's relevant to what's happening in everybody's life that day. So I don't know. In terms of a regular routine of having three standard emails a week, I don't know how many you do. You probably rotate and test different. What you ought to do is test.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you something you could test because, you know, we want to support you in any way we can. So if you want to run one of these things where 20% of your proceeds go to the High Velocity radio show,
right.
We'd be delighted to help you coordinate that.
Tell you what, why don't you just give me your bank account and I'll just wire the money directly in there.
What if in your email next week you could say, for other kinds of updates or however you want to word it, follow us on Twitter or, you know, if you enter your cell phone number here, you know, and then you can have a caveat at the bottom saying, look, we hate spam more than you do. So that's not what we're trying to do here. But, you know.
It's interesting because, you know, every time I start to get, you know, to the point where I'm like, okay, I think we're doing too much. I'm going to pull back a little bit. I literally get 10 people that day. Like, it never fails. I tell my wife this all the time because she's on board with the less is more kind of aspect. I get like 10 people that day when I decide to pull back that tell me that we're doing a great job. They love getting our emails. So it's like, you know, it's almost like I can't win. You know, I decide to pull back a little bit and they're like, yeah, you know, I love getting your emails. You know, there's always such great specials in it. You know, you're doing a good job. So as again, that's what I'm
talking
about.
Therein lies the challenge.
Exactly.
Everybody wants their information differently.
Everybody's different and you can't please. That's the thing I've learned is I'm a people pleaser. I like to make people happy. But you know, the bottom line is you can't make everybody happy all the time.
But there's nothing to say that, and I think this is where marketing is going. Is it's going to be very much a personal thing. I would segment your lists and have people who prefer once a month. I'd have an email list of people who want it that enjoy the weekly or the multiple.
That sounds complicated.
It is complicated, yeah. But is that not important?
No, it's actually not. It's not complicated.
I don't think it's as complicated.
Do you use Constant Contact?
Yeah, I believe so, yes.
There's a built-in feature for that.
I like it.
Yeah. What you do is you want to utilize links for that because you know how in Constant Contact it'll show you who on your list clicked on that link.
Huh.
And so you can and there's actually a button you can click that says make new list and it would take all those people who clicked on that link. You know, so maybe you could create something that says like hearing from us or want even more deals throughout the week or you know something that would indicate what you're trying to say. Click on this link, and so when they click on it, bam, they've put themselves into a list, and then so a new page would come up that says, great, we'll put you on the list and look for new emails next week.
You could even have options when you sign up. All right, you want a weekly communication, you want whenever we have specials, click on this list or you know, just once a month. There's probably different ways you could build those lists.
Okay.
Or you say if you want more frequent communications, follow us on Twitter.
Yeah, and we
send stuff all day long.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to do something a little bit different here. This is more for me because when I go to a restaurant and I have a menu, I suck. I can never make a decision. So I'm going to go around the horn and I'm going to say, all right, so say a food critic you know is coming in a certain time. If there was one meal at your place that you would prepare for that person, what would it be?
Who's first?
I'll start with you, Chip.
Salmon quesadilla. It has to be one meal. Okay. Yeah, salmon quesadilla.
And why?
I think we are solely responsible for the success of the salmon trade worldwide.
Well, that's a pretty big issue.
I mean, every other customer wants the salmon quesadilla. One of these days, I'm just going to take it off the menu and make people order us something else.
That's funny.
But, yeah, we sell more of that than literally anything else on the menu.
Okay. What about you, Brian?
I'd probably start them with our field green and apple salad. That's a very popular choice. It kind of highlights that, you know, the fact that, yes, we do pizza, but we do some other great options, and people want something fresh or something on the lighter side of things. The field green apple salad is a great choice. And then I'd probably bring them out a slice of the Pizza Max. It's a big slice, and it really highlights the fact that we do unusual type combinations. It's got feta cheese, black olives, capers, extra virgin olive oil, Italian seasoning, olive aroma, tomatoes. And it's just a fantastic slice, and I'd probably end up with some of our award-winning gelato.
Award-winning gelato.
We just won best ice cream in Atlanta on MetroMix.com.
Woo! Nice. Awesome.
Congratulations.
I've had that gelato, and so have my children.
Yeah.
Very good.
Now, I don't know if that's because we actually have the best gelato in town, or if it's because I have the best social network, because I promoted the heck out of that. Like, vote now, vote now, vote now. So... You know, either way, we won, so that was kind of exciting. So then that's probably what I would do.
Well, I have to interrupt here because there's one other thing you ought to do if you really do have a critic visit your restaurant. You ought to send your father out there to visit with him.
Yes.
Yes.
I always keep him in my back pocket to throw out to the people so he can chit-chat with them.
And let me really introduce you to my spokesperson, my dad.
I mean, that's part of the Pizza Venti experience. Yeah. It really is. Yeah.
What about you, Tara?
I would start them off with our meatball platter. Oh. We have fabulous meatballs. We even have ladies that come in that are from New York that say, if I don't feel like cooking tonight, I'm going to come get your meatballs so no one will even know that I haven't made them myself. Start them off with that. And then our fresh spinach salad, that is one of our most popular items, with goat cheese and crispy bacon on there. And then I would go with our Diesel Classic Pizza. It's a thin crust, and it's like a marguerite, but we add prosciutto to it. That's one of our most popular. I know a lot of people like deluxe and meat lovers and veggie lovers. We have those sell really well too, but to stay away from that and do something a little bit more exotic, I would go with the Diesel Classic.
Okay, this was a mistake.
Yeah, no kidding.
I haven't had breakfast yet.
Me, no, yeah. What time do you open?
11:30.
Yeah, because I got to drive right by there today.
All right, that was fun. All right, I'm going to throw out one other thing. I don't know where this is going to lead in conversation, but it's just something I'm curious to hear what you guys think about it. You guys know who Seth Godin is? He's a very prolific business author. He's just published a new book that was released last week. It's called Lynchpin. And he talks about the fact that we all need to be artists. And what he means by artist is not someone who paints or sculpts or who creates music, but an artist who is someone who does something that changes behavior in others. So if you're moved by your gelato and you change people, it has an effect on the people who love it, then that's art. Creating art is that's what he's saying, is people need to be artistic. And the example that he uses, which is related to the restaurant industry, which is why I'm bringing it up, and I'm curious to hear what you think on it. And you may tell me to sod off, not interested in talking about it. But he describes it as, all right, let's cooks. He defines cooks as people who just follow recipes. And then he defines chefs as guys who create magic, and they create new dishes that change how people view eating and all that. What do you all think about that? Do you agree with that?
Well, first off, you're going to offend a lot of kitchen people by putting a title on their skill. It's true. Who was it? Some national guy. I can't think of his name right now. Paul Roman. He's got a blog. I was reading his blog about that. But somebody had put a title on, like, you know, foodies and home cooks and cooks and chefs and so on, and they got like so many people emailing back, that's not fair, you can't say that I'm a good cook. I mean, good chef. But yeah, that aside, absolutely, putting a little art or just showing that you care into your food makes all the difference in the world and sets you apart, because, you know, you go to any part of town and there's going to be some kind of a corporate chain sitting there, and those guys are just trying to feed the masses, you know, come up with some kind of cliche sort of a way to name their food or whatever to get people to buy it. But what people like us and Brian and Tara do, we put some art into our food. There's something over and above the food itself that makes you come in.
Well, it's part of the experience you're trying to build.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, but and Good makes the point, there are artists that work at McDonald's because they create an experience that people, I mean, you're looking for something different when you go to McDonald's than when you go to one of your all's places. But he makes the point that you can even do art when you're running a McDonald's because you can make the experience one that means something to people.
I guess there could be truth in that.
Well, you know, I don't know about McDonald's, and maybe that's the case to some McDonald's, but our breakfast place where you and I get together sometimes, I mean, there's something about what they do around the experience there that I think has a bit of an art to it, don't you?
Oh, I agree.
Makes us want to go back and makes it one of our places.
Well, you're creating is there food going to win awards? Probably not.
I don't know. The cheese grits are mighty good.
Yeah, they are pretty good. that's true.
But, you know, Chip, I notice almost invariably when you introduce yourself to someone new or certainly like an audience, you do introduce yourself as Chef Chip.
That's right.
So, I mean, there must be some rhyme or reason or some forward thinking about them. Why do you do that?
Well, when people come to my counter, they kind of like the idea that they're talking to the chef. I actually run the counter in my restaurant. I don't.
Oh, really?
I'm not the one at the stove. I have somebody else doing that. It's worked out much better that way. Huh. I know every ingredient that's in my food. I know, and because we're a healthy restaurant, we have that added benefit. So people are, you know, they'll come up and they'll ask these really weird, esoteric questions like, do you use linseed oil in your food or whatever? I need to, you know, whoever's at the counter needs to know that answer uniquely at our place. You might run into that too, I guess, because pizza is a highly specialized food as well.
Well, and we get the, do you use gluten? Do you use this, that, and the other? Or is there egg in your gelato? You know, things like that, you know, especially with today's, climate, because there's so many people who are allergic to so many different things, and you have to be aware of it. You can't have a restaurant and not, you know, realize that you can't have peanuts next to something that someone's going to eat if they're deathly allergic to it. So it's one more thing that you've got to, you know, always be aware of.
Well, a few months ago, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I'm getting all excited here. This is the second time around. I'm having a good time. Oh, shucks, I forgot.
Well, I got to tell Tara about the water. She didn't hear about the water.
That's right. That's right, yeah. We actually import our water from Italy to make our crust. Because we use a very authentic Italian recipe to make our dough. So our dough is not going to be, you know, I get people from New York and New Jersey who are looking for that thin crust, kind of probably what you guys, that thin, crispy crust, which we don't do. And I tell them up front, you know, if that's what you're looking for, I don't do that. You know, we have a thicker crust, but it's very light and very airy and very crispy. And it's, you know, it's because we use imported Italian water. If we use tap water to make our dough, it's going to be a very dense, very heavy pizza crust. So, that is one, again, you know, is it a gimmick? You know, yeah, I tell people all the time that it's, you know, we use imported Italian water and it's nice, but it really does make a difference. If we use tap water or Dasani or just any kind of water here in the States, it's going to be a totally different product.
Did you create, and Chip, you too, did you guys create your own menu or did you have a chef do it?
The recipes. I created my own.
Call him an artist.
Yeah, a culinary artist do that for you.
Right. No, I'm actually part of a franchise.
Okay.
The guy who came up with this whole concept, he is like a ridiculously gourmet chef, whatever. And you know, it's such a funny. You know, I'm in a different different category than like chef because, you know, Chip, because my I'm not an artist. I'm not a chef. I'm, you know, kind of like what you said about your breakfast place. I like to think of my my skill as the people person. You know, I like to create. Same thing with my dad. We like to create the atmosphere for the customer to feel warm and welcome when they come in there, and you know that's my job. But you know the recipes were all created by this guy named Frank, Frank Cantaldo. He is you know just a ridiculously great guy. He's first generation Italian, and he came up with all of the menus. You working with someone in Italy who owns a restaurant, like three restaurants in Rome over there, to come up with this concept. And then so like what I was saying about the franchise thing, you know, people say, oh, you're a chain, or you're a chain, or you're a franchise. Because it is. It's a net, people don't want that. People want, like you said, somebody who's here, who's not just trying to feed the masses, who's trying to create an experience. So we like to consider ourselves more of a network of restaurants because there's only 13 of these concepts in the United States, and each one is going to be different. I mean, you can come into my restaurant, and it's, you know, the pictures on the wall I took from my trip to Italy. I'm there every day except for Mondays. And, you know, it's a unique experience. So, you know, when you go into a Subway or some of these other places that are, you know, they back a truck up and they unload a store and then they turn the keys over, it's a totally different experience.
Yeah, I'm sure with you and your father running the front of the house, it gives it a different feel, more a family feel than if you went somewhere else. That's how we operate too. My father-in-law helps run the front of the house. He's great at it. And it just gives it that personal family feel, and people love to come back for that.
Exactly.
Rather than just going into a place where you don't get that feeling.
Well, right. Since we're on the subject of, I took my family of five to your restaurant. It was must have been on Monday because you weren't there.
Yeah, my dad told me that you stopped by. So,
I actually still, I might be exaggerating saying goosebumps, but just to get the point across, I still get goosebumps thinking about the everything was so good.
I appreciate
with a family
that.
Of five, we were able to taste just about the entire menu.
Yeah.
And the sauce just absolutely blew my mind. I'm still trying to figure out how to reproduce that sauce.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great.
Really, really good. And family of five, we ate really well for $32.
We're extremely affordable, yeah.
Yes. But I actually didn't even know that you were a chain until days after I'd been to your restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
I had no clue.
Yeah, and that's the point. I mean, when you're there, you don't feel like you're in it.
No, you don't.
It's, you know, and, you know, like I said, that's why I tell people, it's my restaurant. Everything there about it is me, except for the fact that I'm not a chef. You know, I'm more of a business person than I am mm-hmm. a chef. So, you know, to answer your question about the art form, you know, my art form is making sure the customers have a good time. You know, I can do everything in the kitchen. I can make everything. I know everything that goes into it because, you know, I'm there every day doing it. But, you know, when the customers come in the door, they see me. I greet them. You know, I make sure that they, you know and it's a point, you know. Someone comes in and they've been in twice and I remember what they had the last time and I can, you know, talk to them about it. They appreciate that. It's not, you know, some 18-year-old who just wants to get a paycheck and then go, you know, go to the movies or something like that. It's an experience, and that's what it's about, I think, you know.
Well, I was talking to my producer before the show about doing some mobile broadcast done,
mm-hmm.
and I think we ought to push him to get the equipment that needed so we can do these things live.
Absolutely. Go to every one of these. Yeah,
absolutely.
That would be cool.
We'll talk to Lee afterwards about that. So.
Well, I have a question about physical decor because, Tara, your restaurant, one of the reasons that I recognize it is I drive by it a lot. And it just has a really cool look to it. How did you come up with that look? What is it that encouraged you to go with that look and feel?
Well, when we saw the building, we just thought it was an absolutely perfect building to put a pub in there. And we liked everything about it, so we didn't want to change anything. Plus, being in a historic district in Roswell, there's a lot of headaches to go through if you do any exterior changes.
Uh-huh.
But with the interior of the building, we pretty much kept it the same look that it was before. The colors with the walls being half black and half white, it was like that when we got into it. We kept it the same colors. We pretty much just added a bar and some tables, and we kept the diamond plate look, and we have some old artifacts that were back from 1950 that were in there, and the landlord gave us some old photos of the building when it was a gas station and
cool.
that we have posted up in there. So we kept it trying to go with the exact like a garage, pretty much a garage. And all of our names of our food are like Turbocharger, High Octane. We kept it totally themed towards garage, but not to the too extreme where you have, like, you know, race car tablecloths and all that kind of thing.
You don't have diesel in your sauce, do you?
No, we don't.
But really, how important, I'd like everyone to speak to that, how important is something like this, the music and what's on the walls and the way the tables are decorated?
Atmosphere.
It's a big part of it, right?
Definitely.
I don't necessarily. I think it depends on the place. I happen to really like my dining room. We have nice Brazilian hardwood floor and really gorgeously green walls, and we've got local art all over the place. But I think if I stripped out all that wood and painted my walls white, I think people would still come. There's an aspect of the atmosphere that I haven't been to your place, so mm-hmm. I don't know. But there's an aspect to my atmosphere and his that comes from the people that are in it. And I think that makes a bit all the extra things. They're great things to do, and they initially get people to come in the door. But what keeps them there is the thing you can't touch, atmosphere, you know, what the people that are there create for the place. It makes a big – I come from Louisiana, case in point. When we go to look for a restaurant to eat, there's two things we look for: how long the line is outside and are they serving drinks to the line outside. That's it. Some of our best places that we've ever eaten are like, I don't know, wrong side of the tracks. They're in a commercial district or something, or in a rundown shack. You're not really sure if it's clean enough, but the food is just so good. And that's where it's at. So I think all that extra window dressing is a good thing. It gets people in the door, but you are what keeps your people there, you and your food.
I definitely think the atmosphere, when we see our ratings, atmosphere is like the top rating what we have, just because we have that garage doors open, the open air feel, kind of like on the Miami Strip, that nobody has down in that area. So, but when we created our concept, we wanted it to stay with the garage theme. So all of that plays into the atmosphere, that people are getting this one experience, but it still feels like you're in this old garage, but you have live music outside, you're sitting out on the patio, and you're getting great service and great drinks from the people that work there and great food. So we wanted to stay with that concept of the garage.
And I think, to your point, and to something I said earlier, you know, about not being able to please everybody all the time, you know, I've seen, within the last 4 days, I've had three or four people who said opposite ends of things, like, oh, this is such a nice and clean and, you know, I love the atmosphere. And then someone came in yesterday and told me the place was so cold, I needed to warm it up a little bit. You know, it's like, I'm like, okay.
I get that too sometimes. Yeah, I know.
It's like you have to pick something. And if you think it works and, you know, and it works to it makes you happy, then you go with it. And, you know, half the people will like it, half the people won't. But if your food is good, I mean, this guy comes in all the time. He's probably been in 100 times. This is the first time. He's like, you know, let me give you a piece of advice. You know, and of course, then I'm like, okay, here it comes. Sure thing. What is it? He's like, you know, I love this place, but I think you'd be busier if it was warmer. And I'm like, you know, it's 75 degrees in here. He's like, no. The atmosphere, you know, you need to warm it up a little bit. So, to answer your question, I think it's extremely important, but it's extremely important only to a certain extent. You know, one, like Chip said, once they get in there, if it's the greatest place ever and you're having, you know, it looks perfect, but the food is crap, they're not going to come back. So, you know, it is important to an extent.
I have people comment all the time when they come in my restaurant about, and I still do, even 2 years later, people will say, you know, I just feel good when I'm here. And I don't have carpet. The acoustics are horrible. Yeah, I have a deli case cooler that makes too much noise. But people, I get people who come and sit for 2 hours. I don't. What do they do for a living? I don't know. But they'll come and sit for 2 hours. And
they host radio shows.
Yeah.
You just never know with people, and that's one of the really cool, exciting things about doing what we do here. It's also frustrating and a real challenge because when we first opened Fuego, I mean, our music system wasn't working yet, and so we had piped in some just traditional American music in a South American restaurant, and we literally had people complaining on the card saying, where's the South American, you know, salsa music and all. I mean, right. It's amazing what people are attuned to.
I was asking for Merle Haggard. I said nothing about South American music on my card.
You're the only person. You are the only person. Yeah. Well, just so you know, Stone's the only guy in Fuego that actually drinks the grape Fanta.
That's what I got. I can't find the grape Fanta anywhere else. Listen, before you let this crowd go, and I know we got to go in a little bit, I want to hear a little bit about this four square thing you guys were talking about before the show.
Yeah, gosh. Brian, you and I were talking about that before the show. Foursquare, and I'm a rookie on this, so I apologize if I butcher this, and I'm sure the audience is sound like nails on a chalkboard. But it's a location-based social media tool that for the benefit of the user, the person out in the world who's checking into places, the benefits to them, as I understand it, is that they can check into a location, and we're obviously talking in the context of restaurants here. But I've checked into Atlanta Business Radio X this morning, so you check into all different kind of stores, places of business, grocery store, I mean, all that kind of stuff. But in the context of this conversation, you would check into a restaurant and say, "All right, I've checked in, and I'm now at Pizzeria Venti." And there are people out in the world who have been there before who have left comments saying, oh, my gosh, you've got to try the gelato, or boy, it's really cold in there. They need to make it warmer. Or you see all kinds of interesting commentary. And so but like a social media source, you have a community of people that you're following that are connected with, and so there are opinions that you probably care about. And so but you also broadcast when you check in somewhere. You can opt to have it broadcast out on Twitter. And so, I'm very intrigued when I see friends of mine, people whose opinions I care about, eating at certain places. I thought, well, I'll check out that place too. Or vice versa. If Stone likes that place, then I'm never going to step foot in there. There's a lot of different ways you can use that tool. For a restaurant's perspective, as I understand it, the two immediate values I see. And granted, I'm just getting into this and learning about this, but there's a thing called the mayor. If you check in somewhere and you've been there more than anybody else, you are technically the mayor of Diesel Pizza, for instance. And so,
actually, I have a mayor.
Do you have a mayor?
Jim Caruso. He's the mayor.
Jim's mutual
he's
friend.
He's on this thing, I guess.
Yes, he is. The notion would be, and what I'm toying with in terms of Fuego Mundo is, all right, do I give the sitting mayor benefits for being the mayor?
Yeah,
it's like a loyalty program. So you're encouraging. Well, you know, so that's what we're wrestling with is how do you use that? The other advantage is that, and then after this statement, I'll shut up and let you guys talk. But there's, you can see in a list, an entire list of everybody who's ever checked in there. So it's just another way to kind of coalesce a group of people who have been there.
Right.
And so you can do something with that.
And the cool thing about it, and I don't think you have access because you tell me you have the BlackBerry, but if you have one of the phones that's a geo-located, like an iPhone, say, and you're at Diesel Pizza, you can go on there, and or even if you're not, if you're on Cantor Street two doors down or whatever, and you just check in somewhere, you're at a clothing store, you can, if I understand it right, you can offer, you know, things like, because it's geolocated, you'll say, you know, these four places are near where you're at. And one of them offers a free drink with your first check-in. So it can drive people to your restaurant if they're near
cool.
you. So that's one aspect of it that I really like, is that you can, and
that's slick.
Yeah, you can work with the Foursquare people. Right now, I don't think it costs anything. I'm sure they're going to figure out a way to make money off of
this. Sure.
So I'm trying to get in it before they do that. But I think right now, all you do is got to contact them, and they will. And you can go on their website, and at the bottom, it's very hard to find. It took me like 3 hours. At the very bottom of it, there's a thing called Contact Us. You click on that, and you can actually go through and see every restaurant that's offering deals. And I went through almost every single one of them to figure out what are people doing, and you know, is it driving deals? Two ways that it seems like people are utilizing it. One, first-time check-ins, and like every 10th check-in, they'll give you something, whether it's something for free, a discount off, or whatever. And then the other thing they're doing is, again, with the mayor, they're giving the mayor some sort of an incentive to come back. Now, the thing that I think that's cool about it is it's not just giving the mayor something, but it's giving you a reason to go back and beat out the mayor to be the mayor. So it's almost like a competition. It is. It really
is. Well, that's why Foursquare is so popular. It's
a competition.
Almost a game.
Yeah. It actually is a game, because every time you check in somewhere, you get 5 points. And then those points get awarded. And it, again, I don't fully understand it, and it seems like some people have too much time on their hands. But if people are utilizing it, I would like to be able to use it to my advantage. And, like I said, I think the big things are, again, going back to some of the stuff we talked about earlier with discounting, you know, do you offer a discount? Is it cheapening your product? But if it's driving people in the door, you know, it's a check and balance kind of thing. Is it too much good versus too much bad? I mean, obviously, with any kind of thing like that, you're going to have the potential for someone to abuse it. Are they going to sit outside in the parking lot and check in 45 times so they can come in for the first time and be the mayor? I don't know. But, you know, the fact that, you know, Chip's there every day and I'm there, you know, this guy comes in and says he's the mayor, and I'm like, I've never seen you before, you know? there's a certain check and balance to it that you're going to have to implement. And, you know, there are risks involved with it, but I think that it's the next big thing. I mean, I've been looking into it all weekend, and I'm psyched about it.
Just what I've heard about is exciting. I want to go and check that out.
Well, there's a bunch of tools similar to it. There's Gowalla. Mm-hmm. Yelp is going to be bringing in technology similar to that into its mechanism.
But I think they were the first to the market. I think they're going to be the biggest player from everything that I've read and seen in some of the magazines I've been reading about it. It's almost like with Blu-ray and the high definition stuff. You know, so many people came to market, and then all of a sudden there's one clear indicated leader. And I think that that's kind of happening here, where I think that Foursquare is going to be the eventual leader of, like, MySpace and Facebook. They were both there. Well, Facebook obviously won out because everyone does that now. So I think that, you know, if you can align yourself with the winner up front, you know, you maybe, you know, and I think there's only like 3 or 4 restaurants in Atlanta that do this. So if you can become known as one of the places that you can go to and get some sort of a deal, you know.
Well, it alludes to another challenge that we all face, is that every day there's a new tool out there.
Yeah.
And it's just part of the challenge of owning a business, let alone a restaurant, is just keeping abreast of all this new stuff. And you're right, Brian. I think Foursquare probably will be the market leader in that for some extent. But even if they don't, if they're bought up by Google or whatever, right, who the heck knows? I think that concept.
The concept is
here to stay,
right?
And I think that's how a lot of restaurants are going to be going. They're going to have to adapt and understand that technology to succeed.
Well, you need to be able to change your marketing strategy on the fly these days. You know, you can't be aligned with one ancient technology. You know, that's going to lead your ship into the right direction. You've always got to be able to find something new and then change directions. As long as it doesn't change your brand or change the way people perceive you, you know, you're just utilizing different technologies.
Great. I think we're about out of time. Stone, what do you think?
I've told them everything I know.
Yeah. All right, well, I'm going to do one more thing. I want to go around the room one more time. Tell us a little bit, once again, your restaurant, where you're located, website, phone numbers, maybe an upcoming special, some sort of nugget of information that's valuable. We'll start with you this time, Chip.
Me? Okay. Yeah. So Chef Chip DeSormo from Brookhaven Bistro, and actually The Portable Chef, brookhavenbistro.com and theportablechef.com. And as far as Brookhaven Bistro, we serve traditional foods prepared in a more healthy way. We serve burgers and quesadillas as well as gourmet soups, chef-crafted salads, and best coffee in town, all kinds of good stuff.
Brian?
Brian Lackey with Pizzeria Vinci. We do authentic Italian or Tuscan-inspired pizzas, award-winning gelato. You can see our website and our full menu at www.pizzeriaventi-atlanta.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at PVATL, and we're also on Facebook. We are having on Valentine's Day, we're doing a Valentine's special. You know, typically in the restaurant, it's not a sit-down and eat fine dining place, but we have a private room we're going to designate just for Valentine's Day, and it's going to be a 5-course meal, a complimentary glass of wine with each entree. So it's going to be nice, and it's we've already got about half the spots booked up. So it's,
you copied my Fuego idea, didn't you?
I've never even heard of it. So you copied me, obviously.
So there.
And Tara.
Again, Tara Cameron. With Diesel Pizza and Pub, located in historic Roswell. Check out our website at www.diesel-pizza.com for upcoming events and full menu. Our biggest promo this year will be the World Cup. So if you are a soccer fan, we will be promoting every game through June and July, no matter what time it is, and specials throughout that. So if you haven't been in yet, check us out now and get ready for that.
Well, I'm also going to contact you about doing an outdoor tweet-up, too.
Sounds good.
That would be fun on that patio. I've been to outdoor tweet-ups at Brian's place, so spread the wealth.
They're always fun, I know.
Yes, they are. Stone, I'm hungry.
Yeah, me too. Let's go get something to eat.
All right.
Well, until then and until next time, this is Stone Payton, Todd Schnick, our producer Lee Cantor, Chef Tara, Chef Chip, and we won't refer to you as Chef... We'll refer to you as how would you like to be?
Entrepreneur.
Entrepreneur, Brian, saying we'll see you in the fast lane.